Hey everybody, yes, welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman. As always, I'm joined by the great Chris Schaefer. Chris, I see you shaved your beard. You're looking great. I hope you're feeling as great as you look.
Thank you. Absolutely. It's a beautiful day. Happy to be here. We have a focused, beautifully planned out discussion here about Google Ads, specifically for beginners. This is not a group that we always talk to. We always try and keep everything simple and understandable for any level of education in Google Ads. But today we're going to talk specifically about beginners, and I'm glad to do it. I think it's a very important topic.
Yeah, you know, I run into this a lot. I'm sure you do, but there's a lot of people who are new to Google Ads, and they know it can probably help their business. They see their competitors running, but for whatever reason, they just don't start. And I don't know if it's based on they're too confused or they're scared about not being able to know how to get good results or scared of losing some money or whatever, you know, like who knows. But a lot of people are just hesitant to start. And it's not just new advertisers. It's also people who have maybe had a bad experience in the past with maybe like a bad agency or something. Mm-hmm. And they're just hesitant to get up and running again. That is a tragedy because that is a huge opportunity cost. If you're in an industry where people are searching for your product or service, and especially if you see your competitors' ads, what's going on is you're losing market share every day to your competitors. And if you ever want to try to get that market share from Google Ads, every day that goes by, your competitors' campaigns are getting stronger and stronger, and your chances of ever catching them are getting further and further away. So the service we're trying to provide today is to give new advertisers or people that want to get back into Google Ads a very, very kind of like straightforward guide to getting started on Google Ads in terms of like, hey, this is how you can get up and running fast and how you can do it in a very conservative way where you can protect your budget and just as much as you can put the odds in your favor that you're going to get good traffic and you're going to get good results. Chris, that's what we're trying to do here. I know I kind of pitched this episode idea to you this week and it seemed to connect.
Yeah.
Do you see that as well with like new and even former advertisers who are just, there's just a hesitation. Do you experience that sometimes?
This is such a timely episode for reasons, I mean, you didn't even know. I mean, I had a gentleman that I've been working with and literally just this morning, he emailed and just quit Google Ads. He's like, you know, he's not comfortable with it anymore. We started with one campaign and then immediately shift gears and then tried to shift gears again. And, you know, just a lot of, I think you said it right on the nose, confusion, concern, worry, you know, unknown about, you know, what to expect, what's good, what's bad. I mean, that is absolutely the case. And it was a very first time advertiser, very first time he had done it. So
now how long had he been running?
Literally like a week and a half, like 10 days.
Okay, see, yeah. You know, we're going to get into it. The first thing we're going to kick it off here with when we get started is how long you should give yourself to have a chance at success on Google Ads. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I've got a very clear number in there that I'd be curious if you agree with. But obviously, it's more than a week and a half.
Yep.
And that is the absolute tragedy because let me ask you, and again, we didn't talk about this before the show. I didn't know this. So I'm curious, is he in an industry that is definitely being searched for on Google and does he have competitors whose ads are up and running?
Oh, absolutely. Very, very popular, very well known, established. You know, I can go into maybe at the end of the episode a little bit of discussion about, you know, maybe some of the traps that not necessarily he fell into, but many people just like that fall into.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that's the thing. It takes more than a week to work. But it can work. And that's what we're going to try to do today. We're going to try to give people a guide for kind of like an easy setup on Google Ads and a very conservative and safe setup to try to put the odds in their favor. So that's what we're going to do. Let's just you know, let everybody know what we do here. We've got a big thing going on here, but we have a lot of new people every single week. So we're a podcast. We do this every week. Every Monday, new episodes come out. We're on YouTube now. Just search Paid Search Podcast. We're back on YouTube. And then I want to let everyone know about the PSP Facebook group on Facebook. We get a lot of people signing up there every week, and anybody can join. So just find that on our Facebook page, and it's a way to ask fellow advertisers questions and connect with people who are also in the space.
And if you're a new listener, you wouldn't know, but Jason and I are just professionals in the Google Ads universe, but don't work together. So the great thing about this show, if you're new, is this is two professionals' opinions that have no joint effort in convincing you to do a certain thing. We each work freelance on our own. So, you know, this it's a great way to get opinions from two different people who don't necessarily agree on everything. Sometimes we disagree on things. And if it is your first time listening, I think you'll find some great knowledge in many of our 300 episodes that we have out there.
Yeah, so thanks for joining us and subscribe and stick around. So, Chris, why don't you tell us about Opteo and how Opteo can help Google Ads advertisers, and then we will jump into the topic.
Yeah, so if you are a newcomer to Google Ads and you're maybe not even running ads yet, you're still thinking about it, you're exploring it, you know, this is your way of, considering trying it out, listening to people talk about it, I have a great offer for you. This is from one of the, I think the best online software for Google Ads management that there is, period. Opteo is offering for the next few months. So if you're listening to this and it's in the episode is well past, know that this is still going on for the next few months. When you sign up for a 60-day free trial with Opteo at opteo.com/PSP. That's the special URL you have to go to. When you sign up at that URL, their team will reach out and get you connected to claim your $500 credit in Google Ads. This is something that is exclusively available to new advertisers. So if you're a new advertiser, this is an offer that Opteo is offering because they have special connections with Google to get you that $500 credit. So you get two things. You get a 60-day free trial, which is twice as long as everyone else gets, and you can get a $500 free credit in Google Ads. No reason to not try this out. Free money and free credit. It's all great. Opteo.com/PSP.
Okay, thanks, Chris. So let's jump into our beginner's guide to getting started on Google Ads. So the first topic here is, how long should you give a Google Ads campaign to have a chance at success? You start a campaign. We all know they take a little bit of work when they get started to try to dial it in and figure out what's going to work for that advertiser. For a new advertiser, how long should they expect to give it until they see good results? How long should they give Google Ads?
I know we've answered this question before, and so some of these times are going to be repeating, you know, what we've said in the past, but I still think the answer I've given before is still true now. I think that 3 months, 90 days is a great amount of time. You say, well, what's magical about 3 months? There isn't anything magical. It's just that I see a pacing. Level one, which is just getting started, you don't know anything. Everything is a guess. Then you move into month one, and you've gathered a little bit of information. You kind of know what the market is like, how far your budget will get you. Then you move into month two, you figure out, okay, how much are these keywords really going to cost? Where does the return come from? You know, what kind of keywords are going to get me the best return? And then month three, the big question, is this profitable? Is this something that I should continue doing? Mm-hmm. And should I return to Google Ads, you know, month after month? Is this something that's going to drive value for my business? That usually comes after month three. So that's why I personally think 3 months is a great time period.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to agree with you on that. I used to kind of be cocky and say 1 month. I think because Google Ads has gotten more complex and there's more options and all that, I used to say 1 month. Now I've changed that to 3 months. I do think it takes 3 months to kind of dial it in and find success. But I'd say 50% of the time when a professional is running it and knowing what they're doing, you can get success in the first month.
I think that's true.
It's just a degree of success that we're talking about. And I don't think it really takes a full 3 months, but I like to have that kind of padding in there because sometimes it does. Mm. And so I'm in agreement. 3 months is kind of what I would look at in terms of how a new advertiser should think about getting into Google Ads. So that brings up our second topic here. And one of the biggest questions, Chris, from really any advertiser is, what should my first month's budget be on Google Ads? What should my monthly budget be? People put a lot of concern and thought into this. Don't know if they necessarily should. It's not that complicated.
Good
it's very flexible. Yeah. But kind of speak to that. What would you tell a new advertiser when they ask you, what should my first month budget be?
So if you're a business, there's certainly new businesses. There's always a very thin margin of profit. Right, you know, you don't want to go too far past a certain point. So when it comes to setting your first month budget, there's really no answer on what you should spend because it really depends on what industry you're in. You know, if you're a lawyer versus you're a plumber, I mean, different CPCs, different volume of searches, different value of client to you. So in the end, the best answer that I can always give to clients is pick a number, and this is hard to hear, and maybe some people won't hire me because they're like, well, that guy's too negative, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Pick a number where if you ran it for 1 month or 2 months, it won't put you out of business if you got nothing out of it. Now, obviously, you're going to get something out of it, but imagine you got nothing out of it. Pick something that won't put you out of business, you know, but will bring enough impact that you can learn something from it. So if you expect your CPCs, your cost per click, to be $3, then $500 will get you pretty far. If you expect your cost per click to be $15, you're probably going to need maybe $1,500 to be able to get any kind of decent traction. You know, $1,500 doesn't really sound, maybe closer to $3,000. That might be a better number to go with. But that's how I gauge it. Pick something that will give you enough learnings to make some decisions, but a minimum amount of risk so it doesn't put you in danger.
Yeah, a lot of people seem to get hung up on this one, and it's really not that complicated. I think they get hung up because they're so used to postcards in the mail, direct mail, you know, whatever the heck it's called.
Yeah.
Television advertising, radio advertising, where they have to set a fixed budget and they have to come up with the budget before they even get started. With Google Ads, it's very flexible. You can change your budget at any time. So don't get hung up on $1,000 a month versus $1,500 versus $2,000 versus $500. Just get started. Obviously, the more expensive an industry you're in, like if you get one law firm client, that's obviously worth a lot more money than selling one t-shirt or something like that.
There
so that impacts the budget. But I would say most kind of local business advertisers, moving companies, lawyers, dentists, those kind of people, I'd say most start within that $1,000 to $4,000 a month range. I think you can start at $500. There's nothing wrong with that. And if you're a very small business, you can start at $300,
sure.
$200, whatever. But most I see start between $1,000 and $4,000. And I would say pick a number that you're comfortable with running for 3 months in a row. I think that's the key. And if you're like, look, I don't know anywhere to start, I don't think you can go wrong with $1,000 a month for 3 months.
I think that's fine. Just about anything, no matter what your CPC is. I have clients that spend $30 to $40 per click, and they spend $1,000 a month. So that means basically less than one click per day, typically, and they've been doing it for years. Works great.
And that's okay because it's all about making every dollar you spend profitable. Mm-hmm. And if you only spend a little bit of money each month, then it's okay, you know, as long as it's profitable. But it takes time to get there. We call it about 90 days. So have something you're comfortable with running for 3 months. And also keep in mind, say you're not a new small business advertiser, but say like you're new to Google Ads, but you're some huge B2B company, you know, and you want to put a real budget to it. Say you put in $5,000, $10,000 a month to start, and you're like, well, what if it works great? We don't want to be stuck at $5,000 or $10,000 when we could spend $50,000 a month. We don't want to be stuck with that for 3 months. Well, great news. When I say very flexible, you can change it at any time. It takes 10 seconds to change the budget. So if you go for 2 weeks at $5,000 a month as a big company getting into it, and you really like the results, then you can easily change that to $10,000 a month pace, $15,000, $20,000 a month at any time. So you're not married to the 3 month thing, but it's kind of a guideline. And if at any time you want to get more aggressive sooner, you can definitely do that. And so that's how we kind of think about where to set your first month's budget. Chris, let's talk about a couple items that people maybe would not think that they would be as important to talk about. But I think they are important because I think they kind of confuse people sometimes, new advertisers. I'm talking about including Google search partners on your search campaign. Mm. And I'm talking about including the Google Display Network on your search campaign. So kind of break down what those are, and then we'll kind of give our opinion on it.
Yeah. So the Google search partners, I think it's going to be good to define that. First of all, people, even that are running on Google Ads now may not know what that is. So a Google search partner is essentially any, let's call them second tier, third tier search engine.
Or website.
Yeah, it can.
With an internal engine.
With an internal engine. Good point. It could be something, like the New York Times might have a search engine inside of their website and then they can show ads. So any site, search engine, site, whatever, that has a search engine, it can show Google ads on that search engine. So it's effectively embedding those ads on other search engines. Okay. Not going to say whether, I think it's good or bad. It's all up for interpretation. The other thing is the display network. The display network is just a term essentially referring to everything else other than Google.com. When you're browsing a blog, looking at the weather, there's those ads that pop up, about internet available in your area or, mattresses for sale and stuff like that. Those
or whatever you were just looking at 5 minutes ago.
Exactly. That is a display ad. They can be very targeted or very generic. Probably didn't click on those very much, right? Most people don't. You just see them and ignore them. Very rarely do you click on them. And those two settings, for reasons I don't know if it's worth going into in detail, but I'm going to say start with them turned off. So for the purposes of just being technical, uncheck those settings when you create a new campaign. There's a little box that says search partners and display network. You turn both of them off.
Yeah, and just to add a little bit to that, when we say Google search partners, you've got Google.com, which is what you think of when you think about advertising on Google. And then those search partners, like Chris said, it's other websites that have search engines on them, whether they're smaller search engines or websites with internal search engines. Some of them, it's not all of them, but some of them decide to use Google search technology for mm-hmm. their site or for their search engine. And then in return, they run Google ads there. And Google gets to run ads there. And then those display networks, it's not every website's display ads, but many, many of them choose to run Google ads, display ads on their sites. And where you can see if this is turned on or not, if you go to settings on your campaign and then go to networks, you'll see search network, and then you'll have a checkbox next to include Google search partners on or off, and then display network include Google display network on or off. As far as search partners go, it's still keyword based. So just like you target keywords on Google.com searches, you're still only showing up when people on these other websites or other search engines type in your keywords or searches that trigger your keywords. And then as far as the display network, as I understand it, Google just decides when it would be a relevant site to show your ads based on your keywords. And here's the deal. Most of the time, if you go to your campaigns and segment out by network, you'll be able to see how much traffic is coming from search partners, how much traffic is coming from the display network if it's turned on a search campaign. Most of the time, a very, very small amount of traffic goes to search partners and a very small amount of traffic goes to display network. However, sometimes in some industries, in some accounts, we've seen some weird things where you turn on a Google Ads campaign. I've seen this recently, Chris, and all the traffic goes to search partners. Yep. And sometimes you get more than you would expect on the display network. Sometimes it's only 50-50 on search partners. Often it's only 5 to 10%.
Sometimes it goes up and down. unpredictably.
Sometimes it changes.
Yeah.
And we don't really, you don't really have any control over how much it shows on the display network or on search partners. So the reason why I would recommend turning it off to start is because if you're a new advertiser, if you're worried about your budget, you want to advertise where you think you're advertising, and that's google.com. And you want to have that clean data. So you don't want to get like a search partner's click that cost a fraction or a display click that cost a true fraction of a search click and then have that mess with your data. I just like adding that stuff in there once you're confident in your campaign and you have a reason to add it. Like, oh, I'm maxed out on Google. I want more volume. Or I know what the search partners is. I want to experiment with it and see if I can get cheaper conversions from there. We're talking about people that don't even know what a conversion is. So that's why I like kind of turning those off and just really sticking to google.com. And then you can learn about what those different networks are and add them on in the future if you want to. So Chris, do you think that kind of covers partners and a display network?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think from here, I mean, you're already on the right track. We've talked about settings a lot. Let's keep going down the track of some of the settings.
Yeah. So one of the most important settings, and again, this is on settings and then you go to locations, is your location setting, where your ads show. So before we get into advanced stuff and different options around that, Chris, why don't you just speak to how you have that discussion with the client when they're like, hey, you know, we're in the city of Chicago. We do HVAC in Chicago, you know, where should we target? Should we target Planet Earth? Someone told me we should do that. What do you think, Chris? What do you have? What do you say when someone says that to you?
Yeah, maybe a little more specific than just Planet Earth. But yeah, so location is, let's say that's the sight line of where your ads are going to go, right? The keyword is the bullet that's going to get you there, okay? So in order to show up in the right place, in order to target your ads in the right place of the world, you need a location that targets you. So here's the general idea. You say, well, okay, well, I'm just going to target, you know, these two zip codes. Hold on there. I know that you may want to show ads in those two zip codes, but there's two reasons why that's a bad idea. First reason is people move. People change locations constantly
throughout the day.
Yeah, they're at work, they're at home, they're at the gym, they're at a restaurant, they're searching all around the Chicago area, right? So do not just choose zip codes and assume that that's where all your customers are at. What is it? I know something's boiling in your head. What?
No, it's just we've never talked about it before, but yeah, I don't want to get into it. But my point is people are on mobile and they move around in a lot of different locations throughout the day.
Oh, so much more than,
yeah. I mean,
jump back 10 years ago when iPhones were not the primary source of clicks. You know, our mobile phones, smartphones were not the primary source of clicks 10 years ago in Google Ads. And now they are. I mean, it's typically 70% of your traffic comes from mobile for most campaigns, I would say.
And you mentioned zip codes. Like, imagine someone works in downtown Chicago.
Yeah.
And let's say they're up in their tower and then they go down to the street level for lunch and they walk like a 5 or 6 minute walk over to get some deep dish or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. And what if the zip code line just totally ends right at, between that 5 or 6 minute walk? It's like, you're going to miss that great traffic.
Or how about this? Tippity tap, right? That's someone tapping on their keyboard, right? That's the sound of it. They're on their keyboard, on their computer. They're on the Wi-Fi network of their tall tower. They then stand up, walk downstairs, pull their phone out. Now they're on the Verizon network or AT&T. Mm. They've completely changed IPs. They've completely changed quote unquote locations, even though they're physically in the same location. Those could be treated completely differently simply because they've changed their IP address, their, you know, the location of the device that they're using, how it's connected to the internet. That alone means that you need to target a wider area than you initially think.
So why is the key word there, if you will? I think what we run into when we talk to new advertisers is they get laser focused on a very, very small amount of zip codes or a very, very small list of towns right around their city. Mm-hmm. I think what we recommend is, what I tell clients is go as wide as possible that makes sense for your business. Yep. So like if you are in Chicago and you can do HVAC on all parts of Chicago, then you should target all of Chicago. But we're open here to having discussions. We're trying to get to good results. So, you know, if you're only coming at this HVAC with only $1,000 a month, and we're confident that we can spend the full $1,000 in your kind of part of Chicago, because Chicago is such a big metro, maybe you only target like whatever that by the Great Lakes, North Chicago, Gold Coast, whatever, that area of Chicago that you primarily do business in, maybe you could start with like a 5-mile radius around your office, a 10-mile radius, a 7-mile radius, something like that. Go as wide as possible, but I'm open to dialing it back a little bit if you have a small budget. And then if you can't spend your full budget, you can go a little bit wider. But I think we've just seen so many people go so small with their targeting that it kind of pushes us to say, go a little bit wider. But it's just what makes sense for your business and some different options you have. You do have zip codes. You do have radiuses. You can punch in the address of your business and put an X mile radius around there. You can target different cities. You can target different counties. Counties is usually a really strong one. And you can layer those strategies on top of each other, target like different towns. And then if those towns are right next to each other, but there's different gaps in the targeting, you could add a radius to kind of cover it. But it's basically the area that you do business in. I think that's that's as kind of simple as it gets. Chris, let's talk about advanced location options. So I've got them pulled up in front of me, so I'll just
go for it.
Walk through them real quick. Yeah. So you've got the default, which it's set to, which is presence or interest, people in, regularly in, or who've shown interest in your targeted location. So people in or regularly in, that's fine. That's someone in Chicago who lives 20 miles north of downtown or 20 minutes north of downtown, but then works downtown, and you're targeting maybe just the area north of downtown. Well, they're regularly there. And so if they do the search from downtown Chicago, you still want their business because their house, if you're HVAC, their house is 20 minutes north of the core of the city there. But the key one here is who's shown interest in your target location. That means someone could be in New York City, in Oklahoma City, in Dallas, in Florida, searching about Chicago, HVAC companies in Chicago. And maybe you want that traffic because someone's on a business trip to New York City and they're looking for HVAC for when they get back. Or maybe they've got rental properties in Chicago they're looking to take care of. And it usually has to include some kind of like Chicago word or geographic word in the search that shows that they are looking for where you advertise. So you've got that in option. The other main option we use is presence, which is a little more locked down. It's got only the people in or regularly in your target location aspect. It takes away the people who've shown interest in your target location, and it targets only people in or regularly in. So presence or interest versus just presence. Presence or interest is the default. This is under location options. Chris, do you feel strongly about going with either one of those for a new advertiser that's looking for kind of safe, conservative results?
Yeah, I think the presence is going to be the safest thing, not the interest. So someone who's in or regularly in the area is definitely the best place to be.
Now, that's for most businesses. That's definitely for most like local businesses. If you're just a local company that does business in your area, as opposed to, I don't know, some kind of internet company or software company or whatever. But that's if you're a local business. I would agree with that, Chris. The reason why is it's not bad to have people who've shown interest in your target location a lot of times. But we're talking about the range of possibilities here. Like, sometimes on some accounts, you just get some traffic you don't want. And I want to eliminate that potential problem for a new advertiser who's looking for like safe, conservative results. So I would say lock it down to presence as well. So Chris, let's take a quick break here. And then we're going to get into keywords, match types, bidding, some of the really, really kind of hard stuff and important stuff. So we'll take a little dance break here, and then we will be right back.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I want to remind you about our sponsor, Opteo. They are the software to get more done in Google Ads, and they have a special offer happening right now for those of you that are new to Google Ads. You're just starting Google Ads, and if so, they can offer you a $500 Google Ads credit. And this is for those that sign up for the Opteo.com/PSP offer. So you get a 60-day free trial with Opteo. Then you can get a $500 credit in Google Ads. So we're talking lots of free offers here. And just wait, for those of you that maybe have a campaign that's been running for a while, you're not eligible that for that $500 credit, you can still take advantage of the 60-day free trial at Opteo. That's opteo.com/PSP. This is happening for the next few months. So if you're just listening to this and hearing it and you miss this opportunity, wait, it still may be available. Check it out at opteo.com/PSP.
Okay, Chris. So let's jump back into our discussion here. We've talked about search partners and display network. We've talked about how to set your first month's budget, how long you should give Google Ads to show it can work. And then we talked about location targeting. We're going to work into how to find keywords, which I think is possibly the, and we're also going to talk about how to track success and conversion. So those are probably the hardest topics here that we're going to finish with. So I want to build up to that. Let's talk about bidding. I've got a pretty easy way. New advertisers can set their bids. We're talking about how much you should pay for your keyword clicks. Let's say you have no idea about what a keyword bid should be for your industry. Chris, are we in agreement here? What new advertisers who don't really know where to bid should start with?
Probably so. I imagine so. I was, before I even looked at your notes, I was going to say automated bidding, max clicks. That's absolutely for me. If you are just a straight noob at Google Ads, don't know what to do, start there. I even say, don't even put a max CPC bid limit. Don't hit that little checkbox and, you know, say $5 max bid limit, because here's
I agree, because you're going to go too low. You got to trust the system here.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say.
I want to throw something today, but I'm not going to.
We are so in sync.
But Chris, I've seen people who get in there who do max mice clicks, get the most clicks possible for your budget. That's what that automated strategy attempts to go for. That's what it's set to go for. And then they come in there and they check that set max cost per click bid and they put in a dollar and their industry average is like $25.
Because they heard their friend say that he's getting amazing leads for 15 cents a click and he thinks he can do the same thing. And he doesn't know, have any idea that his friend's agency is absolutely lying to him, you know, about the conversions he's getting. So yeah, I mean, start with an open mind.
And also understand the power of Google Ads. We're not talking engagement here, to use a term. We're talking about, because people could look at another platform and say, oh, my engagement costs 15 cents per engagement.
Wow.
Engagement. That happens.
Yeah.
That happens. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about hardcore leads here. We're talking about clicks.
Money.
We're talking about people actually going to your website after they search for exactly what you're offer. It's super valuable. And so, yeah, trust the system. Put it on maximize clicks. That's the name of the bidding there under automated bid strategies. Maximize clicks. Set bids to help you get the most clicks within your budget. And so then the system, what it does is it looks at, this is all automated. It looks at your budget. It looks at your keywords and
your area.
Determines, and your area.
If you're in
and
Chicago or you're in some little city, it's going to
determine. Be different.
Yeah, it's going to be different.
And the system will try to get you the most clicks possible for your budget. And then again, do not check that set a maximum cost per click bid limit because you'll probably go too low. Let the system do its thing. Now, one thing to know about automated bid strategies and maximize clicks, it will probably take a few days for the system to learn what they want to do with your bidding. The system goes through a learning phase. I think it takes around 2 to 3 days, usually, sometimes sooner. And possibly what you'll see under your campaign page, I'm just going to go there now, Chris, so people can know what to look for. You're under campaigns, and there's a column called status. I think you might see a learning status in there. And that means the system's learning what to bid. And then all of a sudden, 2 to 3 days in, assuming you're targeting keywords that get search volume, you'll start to see your cost per click really come up to a level that's where it needs to be to get clicks, to spend your budget if it's possible. And if you've got keywords that people are searching for in an area that has enough volume, then after 2 or 3 days, the system will probably start getting you some volumes. You'll see clicks come in and you can let it do its thing. So it's very simple and it's a great, great strategy for people that really don't know what the cost per click should be in their industry. Chris, I told you we're going to build up to it. Let's talk about match types before we talk about keywords. We got three match types: exact match, phrase match, broad match.
Yeah.
This is not really the episode to get into what those different match types are, because that's a big discussion these days. But is there kind of a clear thing people should be thinking about in terms of broad match, yes or no?
I'm going to step out here. I'm going to say, newbie just getting started, you know, you're not going to hit the target on day one, okay? So don't aim for it, right? Don't use a rifle when you don't even know what you're shooting at yet. I'm going to say go with the shotgun approach and broad match keywords, max clicks. That's what I suggest, because
I'm looking at a good looking guy.
I know.
Can we get a flex? He gave me one earlier. No. You're looking strong, Chris. Well, just so you know, you look like you're in great shape.
Oh, thank you.
But honestly, before we started today's show, you were not the person that I know. You were out of character.
Having a rough
on
day.
On top of that, you've shaved, which
yeah.
The Chris Schaefer from a week ago told me you're never going to shave your beard.
Did so, I say that? Oh, okay.
I don't know what's going on with you. I think you might be some kind of simulation or clone or fake person or an imposter right now. Because for Chris Schaefer to say maximize clicks, automated bidding,
I know,
and broad match with a big smile on his face,
I know.
It's just I did not expect that was coming. Because you can see my notes here, Chris. I was going in the exact opposite direction.
I know.
Keyword exact. And we have a rule for the show. I happily split the money with you 50-50, even though I do 85% of the work. But for that, I want compliments and I want you to agree with everything I say and make me feel good.
Yeah.
You're not doing that when you give me a different strategy here.
Let me lay out my...
Hold on. People who are finding this episode are probably new to the show. They don't get this stuff we do here. And we'll dial it back.
Okay.
Dial back the jokes.
Let me...
Chris... What are you talking about here? Pure broad match. That's a very interesting take. I did not expect that.
Let me ask you a question. New advertisers, do they tend to pick too narrow of, let's say, exact match keywords, or too broad of exact match keywords?
All right. Well, I'm not going to agree with you for the sake of agreeing with you either. Some of them go way, way too specific. Mm-hmm. I think you see this with your B2B campaigns and people talk too much in industry language and stuff. But you know what, Chris? I work with a lot of B2C campaigns and B2C advertisers. They go crazy with their keywords. If they're in the moving business, they put in the letter M because that's what moving starts with. And then people that I see go crazy with being too broad and too generic. So I've seen it in both ways.
Okay. So my suggestion is, because they tend to choose exact match keywords that are just absolute trash because they're so long, they're so specific, they're so obscure, they're not relevant. I say people do a worse job of trying to pick really, really good exact match, more so than they do a bad job of picking broad match that can really kind of make up for the error by the fact that they're very relevant to a lot of things. So I'd rather have a person be off with a broad match more so than off with an exact match. Because if you're off with an exact match, you're going to keep hitting the wrong thing. But if you're off with a broad match, you might hit a lot of bad things, but you might hit one good thing. That's my theory.
Now we're talking about theories, and this is for new. We don't do theory with new advertisers.
That's true.
Back to the basics. But that speaks to the difficulty of the whole keyword situation with new advertisers. That is the most difficult part, of coming into Google Ads for the first time. Match types kind of are showing that it's difficult. You know, I was going to say lean into exact match. I thought you were going to say that phrase match kind of will strike it down the middle and you'll you'll get enough. But you know, whether you do exact match, phrase match, exact and phrase match, or broad match, or all three, the most important thing is that you have good keywords.
Yeah, sure.
And so we'll talk about that in a minute, how to find good keywords. But assuming you have good keywords, let's just lay out the different options. Assuming you have good keywords. With broad match, you're going to show up on keywords that are those searches, along with things that Google thinks are related to those searches and relevant to those searches. Now, some of that traffic will be, some of that traffic won't be. You can judge it with something called search terms. And if you just Google Ads search terms, or go to our podcast channel and look for search terms in our channel, you'll probably find some stuff. It's a very important thing to know. Search terms are what people actually type in Google. Look at your search terms. You'll get a lot of ideas there when you run broad match. And then if you run exact match, you run the risk of not showing up and not spending your budget, not getting volume if you go too narrow with keywords that aren't really searched for.
I feel like you
phrase match kind of splits the middle.
I feel like you've come over to my side.
Are you I'm gonna get away from exact match because I was thinking about it from an expert / the best person on planet Earth to do this.
Bring it
and
down.
By the way, who
bring it down?
By the way, whoever will do this, it's already locked in. No one will ever catch me, ever.
You're so far ahead.
I didn't spill anything, Chris. It was an empty cup. It was an empty cup.
That would
cup.
Have been amazing if you would have said, no one's going to catch me. And then you spill Coke all over your computer. The whole thing fries and you shut off and that's the end of the episode.
Like I told you a few weeks ago, Chris, 25 post-it notes only leaves enough room for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12
no.
drinks.
No. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. Been doing a lot of work, Chris, this week. Been a busy guy. So let's talk about match types.
Okay.
Man, I'd say if you only go exact match, you are going to go too small for a new advertiser. So scratch that. But that's not to say you can't have good exact match keywords in there. We're open to that. And then your choice really is, along with some exact or with no exact, whatever you want to do, are you going to run only phrase match with those, or just phrase match in general? Or are you going to run broad match with your phrase match, or only broad match? It's up to you.
Yeah.
Broad match is going to bring in a lot of volume. You can look at your search terms, look for ideas in there. I'd say if you really do feel like you've found some decent keywords, maybe you did a consulting session with a pro and to come up with some keywords that get volume, maybe you know how to use a keyword planner and you found keywords that do get volume, then I really do think phrase match is okay, Chris, because it's so open these days. It's treated basically like old broad match modified. Yeah. It's pretty open. But the key is to get good keywords. So that's kind of our thoughts on, I guess where we should leave it on exact match or match types is, don't just run exact match. Don't do that. That's going to be too locked down for a new advertiser. Yep. Definitely, I would say run phrase and maybe be open to running pure broad just to see what kind of volume you get if you're trying to find some good keywords. Yep. You can look at your search terms list. So Chris, that leads to us to our next topic here. How to find a good set of no-brainer, high-value keywords you can't get hurt with.
Oh my gosh, what?
How do you do that? That is the
I say you hire one of us at that point, right? I mean, I don't know.
All right, so how to find good keywords that have some volume and some relevancy? We'll balance it that way. How do you find a set of good keywords with relevancy and with enough volume, Chris? Put yourself in the shoes of a brand new advertiser. You aren't in contact with the pro. You want to do it yourself. I've got some ideas on how to do it. What would you say?
I don't think it's possible. Quit now. I think if we're talking about beginner Google Ads guide,
how would you find your keywords?
And you're trying to think, how can you not get hurt? I'm going to say change your frame of risk, because your tolerance of risk is too tight. You're going to waste money in Google Ads for a season. That's it. I'd be curious to see what your thought is on it, but no.
Well, so what do you think people have to do then? They have to just be confident with what they put in there and be open that they're going to show up on some...
They have to test and learn. Test, analyze, change, and start again. Keep that repetitive cycle of new keyword, you know, something different, something new and, you know, see how that works and keep testing. The cycle goes on forever. I mean, that's there is no not getting hurt.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay. I hear you. I hear you. It's just, man, do I talk to some timid people sometimes?
Yeah.
That are so worried.
That's true. That's true.
And I think it's because a lot of them get burned by people who are not the best at this, and they get so frustrated. You know what I would do, Chris? First of all, we'll talk ad groups very quickly. How many ad groups do I need? Service to keyword ad groups. Mm. That is what we like to focus on. How many services do you have? Make those the ad groups inside of your campaign. If you're a pool company, and you do pool building, new pools, have that be an ad group. If you do pool cleaning, have that be an ad group. If you do pool repair, have that be an ad group. If there's a special kind of tile, pool tile you sell that is real high value to you, have that be an ad group. And then within those ad groups, I would say for people who don't even know what the keyword planner is, go to Google, google.com, and search for what you would want to show up on. So if you're a pool cleaner in Miami, then you, what kind of search do you want to show up on? You know this, pool cleaning companies, Miami, pool cleaning companies
near me,
pool cleaners. Well, say they don't know about near me, Chris. Okay. The best news is here is I just typed in pool cleaning companies into Google. The suggestion came up near me. So for every new advertiser out there, that's like a huge search that a lot of people do. And you can have near me at the end of it. You can have pool cleaning companies in Miami, pool cleaning companies, Miami, pool cleaning companies near me, pool cleaning companies on its own, pool cleaning company. And it's pretty simple. And then you can look at the suggestions that come up when you do a Google search. You hit spacebar after you type out your search, and then it gives you suggestions. And then at the bottom, there's related searches where you can look for keyword ideas there as well. And think about the kinds of searches that you want to show up on. It's pretty much that simple in my view.
And to contrast what Jason's saying here with what I said before about Exact Match, the example that I find that people usually do, they don't do something smart like what Jason's talking about. What they would do with Exact Match is they would just have the Exact Match pool or pools, right? That's what they or cleaners, you know, or something like that. They would have those as separate Exact Match keywords. That's the experience that I have had, and that's why it's better to start wide, pick smarter, more contextual keywords, leave it open, and then over time, narrow. That's the goal.
Yeah, and just as a business owner or as an employee working inside the business, again, ask yourself what searches you would want to show up on. How would people find you in Google? It's really not that complicated most of the time. Just do searches yourself and say like, oh, this is something I would want to show up on. This is how I would think customers search for me. Then with Google suggested searches, when you type it in the search bar and then the related searches at the bottom of the results, you can find some good ideas and you can go, oh yeah, so people search pool cleaning companies, Miami, but they also search like a bunch of cities around Miami. Cool. We'll add those into our pool cleaning ad group. Maybe phrase match, maybe pure broad. I lean towards phrase match, but that's okay. I get the rationale for broad as well to open it up, get volume, get keyword ideas. And then you got 3 months to dial it in. Chris, let's talk about ads. Again, we're trying to make this simple for people. Doesn't have to be complicated. How about this? One responsive ad per ad group. Just get started. Fill out a responsive ad. Put in a bunch of headlines that are related to your keywords, that advertise things about your business you want to advertise. Put in your descriptions. All you need is one. It'll work. Is that too simple, or is that pretty good advice for ad creation?
No, I think that's perfect. One thing I would throw in, very common mistake for beginners, don't put your company name in there. No one cares. If you're Frank's Plumbing, don't put Frank's Plumbing. No one freaking cares what your name is, Frank. They just want to know if you're in their area, if you do good, you know, if you're licensed, if you're insured, you know, put stuff like that. Don't put Frank's Plumbers. Sorry. A little passionate.
Yeah, no. So yeah, it sounds like you're passionate. You know, we do have 15 slots or whatever for headlines.
Yeah.
So but people like their businesses.
But you know,
Chris,
what Google's
you may not like
do.
Frank's Plumbing.
You put Frank's Plumber and it's the most relevant, you know, you're going to get, you know, Google's going to pick it for 90% of your headlines, you know, for that responsive search ad, and then now you have 1,000 impressions that says Frank's Plumbers.
We're keeping it simple. We're keeping it simple. And the key thing is, don't get caught up on, I think early on, I don't think you need to get caught up on testing ads, on the other kinds of ad types. You just, responsive ads, it's going to really open things up for you, and it'll ensure that you show, or you're eligible to show, on your searches. So with that, let's talk about extensions, Chris. There's something under the ads area called extensions. These are different parts that can show up, different parts of the ad that can show up under your ad copy or around your ad copy. For lead companies that are looking to generate leads, forms and calls, definitely the call extension. You can put a schedule on that to run during the times you can take calls. Call outs are little pieces of copy that can show up. Site links, you can link to different pages. They'll show up as links below your ads.
These are all different types of extensions that you're listing. Yeah.
And I think structured snippets, you can list the types of services you offer, basically. And they're just listed there as to make your ad a little bigger. The key thing to know about extensions is that, to me, those are the core ones for like lead generation campaigns. And then the other thing to know is you don't get to control how often they show up. You just turn them on by adding them, and then it's up to Google to determine how often they show. So if you see your ad and you don't see, for example, your call extension, as long as it's approved and running inside the account, that's not a problem. Like, you don't have control over how often it shows up. Sometimes it will, sometimes it won't. And then if you want to get a little more advanced, the location extension is important. You can show up in the maps and stuff like that. But it's pretty simple compared to the other stuff. Chris, this is not simple stuff, but how to track leads for lead generation campaigns. Oh, let's not discuss how, because that's such a big conversation. Well, let's just cover the three main types so people know what you can do.
Okay. Okay.
You can track when people fill out forms on your website. That is something you should try to get in place. You should be able to track that.
And when you say track, that means it shows up in Google Ads. So when Jason says tracking a conversion, that just means when someone clicks on an ad, goes to your website, then completes an action on your website, that is tracking a conversion, and that data shows up in Google Ads. The other thing is the phone call from the ad. This is the most simple way to track actions from your ads. You can simply see right in Google Ads that someone clicked on the phone number in your ad or manually dialed the phone number from your ad, and you can track that. Those are by far, you know, if you're going to do one, that's the one to do. And I mean, I don't even want to mention it. I mean, it gets really complex.
I do because I love it.
Okay.
It's called calls from website. Ugh. You can track the calls on your website. Basically, there's a code that you can generate inside of Google Ads, put that on your website along with another little code, the global tag. You got to make sure that's on there. And then what you can tell Google is, hey, Google, look for the phone number on my website. When someone comes specifically from a Google Ads click, Chris, remember what I said before the show.
Sorry.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Tight.
Go
focus.
Yeah, I'll give you a treat after the show. Thank you. Like that response. Thank you. Hey, if I don't teach you, how are you going to
learn?
How
am I going to know? Yeah.
To quote the Real Housewives show. Great episode this week.
Pretty sure.
Some of the people know what I'm talking about.
Okay, I don't
want to. Hey, remember what I said before the show?
Right.
Hey,
Chris. Well, you went off topic. It wasn't.
Hey, Chris. Uh-huh. I know, but I'm talking. 2 ears, one mouth. Remember.
Listen more.
2 ears,
talk one less. Mouth. Okay. This coming from the guy who talks 90% of the time. But go ahead.
Is it working or not? Are we the number one Google Ads podcast or not?
Can't argue with that. Can't argue with the results. The pudding is great. Please continue baking.
Calls from website. You put the website call conversion code on your site. The global tag has to be there as well. What you can tell Google is, when you see the phone number on my website or when someone clicks to my website from specifically a Google Ads click, change the number on my website into a forwarding number. The font stays the same. The size of the text stays the same, the numbers. But when you see this number on my site and someone comes to the site from Google Ads, change that number into a forwarding number. Make sure I get the call at my business, and you can provide that number to Google. But I want to see that call show up in Google Ads as a conversion so I can see what keywords and ads brought it in. It does that. And if I click to your website and you've got that running from a Google Ads click, it'll change the number as the page is loading into a forwarding number. You can track the calls, still receive the calls at your business number. And then if I come to your site from without a Google Ads click, just organically or from another source of traffic, it won't change into a forwarding number and you won't get calls with the forwarding number from traffic that's not Google Ads related. They'll just call your business directly and it won't show up as a conversion in Google Ads. So a lot of people don't know that. And basically what it does is it closes the loop. You can track calls from ads, calls from websites and lead forms. And if you're trying to get calls and lead forms completed, you can track everything. So it's possible. And you can dig into that if you are curious. So Chris, I think we gave people a pretty good guide here for a beginner's guide to Google Ads. Let's say they don't want to do it themselves and they want to hire either the best Google Ads provider on the planet or the second best manager on the planet. Why don't you tell them how you can hire one of those and then I'll tell them about the other one.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like help with this, I just so happened to publish on my Patreon feed a video that explains how to build Google Ads campaigns for beginners. It's called the Fastest PPC Build. Just published it this past week. You're going to like it. It's great, very informative. Lots and lots of videos just like that for my my Patreon. You'll find it at chrisschaefer.com. There's a link there. It's just $50 a month. Great community. Lots of benefits that you get by joining. Meet me there.
Okay, thanks, Chris. And I offer Google Ads consulting and management at rothmanppc.com. And also, we have a newsletter for this show, paidsearchpodcast.substack.com. We put out a newsletter every single Monday, kind of sharing some insights from that week's episode. And it's a great way to keep up with the show. So definitely join that as well. So Chris, thank you.
Thank you.
We will see everybody here next week on episode 302 of the Paid Search Podcast.